this morning is spiritual medicine. You'll see that that's kind of the undertone of what we're talking about here in this second set of eight. And what you see, and the reason I say that, Psalm chapter 19 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it has one letter per Hebrew alphabet. And so that's what you'll see there. You see how it starts out with Aleph there at the first, and then we'll be at Bet or Beth, looking at that segment there. But there's 22 sections of eight. We're only looking at the second section there, just with Bet, and that's where the Lord had laid my heart. But talking about spiritual medicine, I think it's going to be good for us to see some meanings behind what this means in the Hebrew alphabet and a few things there. But I want to give us a little introduction that will probably seem a little off, but being that this is talking about the Word of God and how you and I are supposed to or able to keep our lives clean, I wanted to give an illustration. The Lord kind of made it plain and thought about Brother Darren Talbert. I see him back there this morning, and I thought about him, maybe some other law enforcement friends or maybe military friends would probably get a little bit more out of this analogy, but it's what the Lord laid on my heart. There's a few things, a few tools, as we call them in law enforcement, that we use. One being tear gas, pepper spray, tasers. Have you heard about those? Has anybody here been tased besides me and brother Darren? Yeah, Brother Tanner. About forgot about you, brother. There's another one. Have you ever been tear gassed, pepper sprayed? Yeah, amen. Good, in good company. People will get that. So what I find interesting about this, not to sensationalize things, but I want us to compare this to the Word of God. I want us to use this. I want us to see an illustration this morning, because I remember when we were in training, and it was specifically, I think it was, maybe it was for the pepper spray part, maybe even the taser part, it kind of goes hand in hand, but the question that was asked by the instructor to start the class before we had experienced any of these things, they asked us, they said, are you justified in using lethal force if somebody comes at you with pepper spray? Are you justified in using lethal force if somebody comes at you with a taser? You know, I was kind of unsure how to respond with that, because that's what they refer to as less lethal, a less lethal option. So if somebody comes at you with something less than what is potentially going to kill you, do you have the authority to take them out? That was the question. And I'll be honest, I was a little torn. I was kind of like this. I want to raise my hand and say, yes. You know, that's the enforcer side. And then the other part said, well, I don't know. But they said by the end of this course, you will have an answer to that question. And the reason being, what they do with that, they said, for you to know and understand the severity of what this feels like, we're going to expose you to it so you will know. And that was something that was very concerning to me, because I wanted to carry a gun. And I was like, are you going to shoot me too? I was like, I don't know. I don't know about all that. But I tell you what's interesting about how this worked out is when we learned the severity of how bad those things hurt, it gave us a way to understand and calculate, is this situation worthy of this level of force? I'm going somewhere with this. Just follow me. I'm going somewhere. So they said, we wanted you to know and see and understand how uncapacitating these things are. You know, when you get pepper sprayed, you're shut down. You can't see. You can't breathe. You are just shut down. You don't know exactly what's going on all around you. When you're tased for that few seconds or however long, they call it a 6-second ride, I believe, you're shut down. You can't move. And it's very interesting, because when you see these enforcers, you see these people, I want to be able to have this tool. But what I found most very interesting, Brother Tanner, about it, there was no big I's and little U's when we were all exposed to it. Here's the thing. They did it different ways. A lot of times we were sprayed individually. And then you would go, they would be your friend. You'd have somebody that would walk you over to the water and help you get that out of your eyes. Those that were maybe hooked arm and armed with you when you got tased and you rode the lightning, as they call it, it just laid you out. what was very interesting about that is what a bond it created in people. When I remember, one of the worst experiences I ever had is when I was getting tear gassed in BLET. This is years ago. They brought you into this room. You had a mask on. They bring you into this room. They say, now, when I tell you, you pull that mask off, you look over this barrel, you can see the smoke blowing up in your face. You could feel it. He said, now, say your birth date when you take that mask off. Say your social security number. Say something. The reason you had to say something so you'd take a deep breath and start to speak. And so that way you'd pull it in. Interestingly enough, you know, after we all were exposed to that and felt the harshness of that, there was not one person out there laughing at anybody else. Brother Darren, everybody was trying to help each other. It was pitiful. I mean, big old guys just out there, you know, crying, bent over. I mean, mucus dripping to the ground, tears, and hugging on each other, holding on each other. We just wanted the pain to go away. Just praying for each other. You say, man, where are you going with this? Just stay with me. There was nobody looking at any longer necessarily using that as a weapon, but they were understanding the power of what they had in their toolbox and how it affected other people. Here's the thing, if we're not careful, we can get really good at using the Word of God as a weapon and not using it as a medicine that it actually is. Think about it like this. We want our kids to be a certain way. We want to help them. We want to lead them. And if we're not careful, we can turn the Word of God on them. You say, ain't that what you're supposed to do? It's a medicine. It's a medicine. Think about how we're using the tool that God gave us in the Word of God. You know, that's the most powerful medicine, Sister Karen, that we have. I wouldn't want to tase my kids. You know, I wouldn't want to turn the Bible on them. Here's the thing. I want us to see this illustration. This is where I'm getting at. Before we turn the Word of God on somebody else, we need to turn it on ourselves first and see what that experience feels like. You need to know what that feels like. I need to know what that feels like. How am I going to know how to help somebody else if it's not helped me? One of the greatest experiences I ever had was being able to distinguish, do I need to pull this? Is it time now or not? And you know, the Word of God is just that powerful. It's a medicine. It's a spiritual medicine that can help us. You'll see that in these verses here. I trust and I pray. Let's read these verses and then we'll pray and we'll get started. And we see here again, Psalm 19, verse number 9 here. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Father, I just thank you so much this morning for the privilege to be here. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the medicine that it is. I thank you, God, how it can uplift us. It can help us. It can keep us from danger. It can protect us, God, if we're willing to use it, yield it in the right way, God, and not look at it only as just a weapon, just as a defense, God, but see it as the medicine that it actually is when we're in a time of need for ourselves and then also a time of need for others to be able to share it with other people, God, that they can see the power in it and use it that way. The detoxifying agents that's in your word, God, if we will administer it correctly, God, and use it the way that you've intended for us to and the way you've given to us. God, I pray for our services this week. I pray for each man of God that will be with us. I pray for each singer, each one that takes part in whatever way that is, God. I'm just trusting you with everything, Lord. God, just that we would just have a good time in the house of God, surrounded by the Word of God, Lord. Just just keeping it plain and simple, exactly what it is, God, thinking again about the old paths and what that means, God, just following you in spirit and in truth and trusting you with everything that we have. And Lord, I pray for those that are lost that are going to be attending. Pray that you help them, and Lord, help them to see their need. Help them to see that they're lost. Help them to see that you are their only way of hope, God. And Lord, those that might be walking far from you, Lord, need encouraging. God, I pray that you just uplift them and help them, God. We need you. We need you in every single way. Help us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see some interesting things here. And I try to find meanings. I don't like to obviously try to misrepresent anything. But in studying, I want to know what these things mean. Why is the Bible written the way it's written? Why is things given to us the way that it's given to us? And you see in Psalms, these Psalms can be sang, but you see it's almost poetic in nature how it's written. But in this longest chapter in the Bible, you see how it's given by the Hebrew alphabet. It's laid out that way. You start with A, then you go into B. And of course, they read from right to left. It's different, and I would confuse myself if I would went into all the symbolism. But I started looking at these things here, and you look at the letter B, or Bet, B, and also represents the number 2. And I was looking at that a little further. I thought, B2, what does that sound like? Not the bomber, something a little bit better than that. B2 is actually a vitamin. It's a vitamin. What's the attributes? What's the uses of vitamin B2? And I looked at that. It also means that it's a vital antioxidant, and it breaks down food to create energy. That's what B2 does. So I use that as a parallel to say again that this is spiritual medicine to us, and the Word of God will do the same thing for us if we'll allow it. Interestingly enough, how does it start out? It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" That's what antioxidants do. They cleanse. They push out things. They push out the bad. Isn't that neat to have when you're feeling sick and you're feeling down? They have antibiotics and things and have different kind of medicines. When you're feeling bad, that medicine can go in there and attack that, take the bad and leave the good. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Aren't you thankful that the Word of God does the same thing for you and I spiritually? Amen. Amen. If there's anything good in there, we don't want to disturb that, but we want to get all the bad out that we can. That's what's good about an antioxidant. You know, like blueberries and some of those things, it pushes out the bad. So the good will have more room to grow. That's what vitamin B12 or B2 is supposed to do from what I'm reading. And so you see here in this chapter here, B and then 2 also, it says asking the question, wherewithal? How? How shall a young man cleanse his way? You have a question, you have an answer. How can a person live a clean life? How can you have a clean life? Anybody here just want to have a good, clean life? Sometimes people think it's fun to be in trouble and feel that I'm living on the edge. I don't like that feeling. I'll just be honest with you. I don't like that feeling. Had a friend one time years ago who said, I like that feeling of being in trouble. And I'm like, well, you can have it. I don't like that feeling. It feels bad. I don't sleep good, and I know I'm going to get a whipping. I don't like that. I don't like that. And being a child of God, it's the same thing. It only has adverse effects on you. It's not good. No good thing can come out of it. I'd rather sleep better and have a clean conscience than worry about what's going to happen next. I don't like that. And the Bible goes on to say here, wherewithal, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's saying here, by listening to the word of God. You say, how's this going to help us with revival? Just stop. You ever stop and take inventory of your life? You know, sometimes when we're sick, you know what I'll do, been sickly here lately. In my mind, I try to figure out why I'm sick so I don't get sick again, Brother Bill, so I can not do that again. You know, Brother Jack, I mean, that's the right thing to do, isn't it? If it made you sick, don't do it no more. Don't do that anymore. Stay away from that. Now, if you're Brandy, you're going to get on Google and you're going to find all sorts of things. Things you don't want to hear, things you don't want to see, and it's 10 times worse than what it is. I got a pick on you on that. Dr. Google. all the bad that can happen, and it's worse. And I thought I just had a runny nose. No, you're about to die. It's about over for you, big guy. It's about over. That's the way it is when you get to Google. But what he's saying here, he's saying if you would just simply take heed to the word of God, listen, listen, listen. A lot of times I think what happens is we know things, we hear things, but we don't apply things. We don't just actually apply it. See, that's what's concerning to me when I look at things. We know a lot of the Bible. I believe the average Christian that attends church regularly, I'm talking Sundays, Wednesdays, you're here, you hear it, you're exposed to it. Now, after that, it's up to you if you actually apply it or not. You know, the doctor can prescribe it, but what you do with it after that is completely up to you. It's out of the doctor's hands. The doctor diagnosed an issue, gave you a solution, but it's up to you to choose what you do with it. You can have the best medicines and the best vitamins that you can think of in your cabinets at home, but unless you're taking them, it's not going to change a thing in your life. It's not going to change a thing. You know it, you've heard it, but you're not actually applying it. See, that's the danger. If there's any danger, I think maybe in going to church is going to church but not applying what you're learning and what you're hearing, not taking heed to it. See, it feels maybe, or it can feel like an accomplishment to be here and say, well, yeah, I go to church, I went to church, but you know, that pales in comparison to actually applying what you learn while you're here. That's where it's actually at. That's when the medicine takes effect. That's when things change in a person's life. When you start taking the theories that begin as a theory in your mind that you heard in church, when you start applying, you say, you know what, that actually works. And here's something too. I don't want you to get discouraged and say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. This is what happens sometimes. People will find a need of God in their life. They'll go to church one Sunday and say, well, it didn't change a thing. And then they quit going. How many medicines do you take and you take one dose of it and you turn around and walk from it and say, that didn't work. You didn't take it long enough. A lot of medicines, Brother Dale, are taken in series, aren't they? You're supposed to take it till that series is complete. I was taking some medicine recently, and they said, take this until it's gone, because if you don't, you can relapse. I think that happens a lot to people in church. They don't do it long enough. They don't take it long enough or go long enough for it to take effect in their life. And that's an issue and a problem that you run into. The Bible plainly says here that you're supposed to take heed to what the Bible is telling us to do. You know, that's very simple. This is what I find too, is sometimes you get to feel maybe a little bit better and you go back to work or you go back or whatever and you start trying to do things before you're back to normal. And guess what happens? You can relapse. I'm trying to find the best words to say and to use this here, because I think too often this is what happens. A lot of times people will try to do the work of the Lord or go on with the work of the Lord without all the antioxidant taking effect. And that's a problem. That's an issue. So what are you saying? Nobody's perfect. That's exactly right. But you know, if you've got sin in your life that needs to get out, you know, that needs to get out before you start moving forward for the Lord. You say, you really saying that? Yeah, I'm saying that. Here's the thing. If you're trying to do what God has called you to do and you've got that sin that's blocking you and the fellowship that is required for you to move forward with Him, you're not really moving forward in the spirit. You move forward in the flesh. That happens a lot. People want to try to move forward and maybe give a perception of what's going on. And, you know, the Pharisees were bad to do that. They would dress the part and look the part and pretend to be the part, but actually they are doing nothing but causing harm and causing issues. I want to read this here. You've heard this before. Matthew chapter number 23, verses 25 through 28. This is Jesus giving the warning to them. I tell you, tells it pretty plain. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. You wash the outside of the cup and you've got it shined up and looking good. You've got it spiffed up and it looks great. And he says, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside then may be also clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So that's the thing about Jesus. He knows you inside and out. You know, that's a funny thing about people. You can snow people a good deal of the time, but you can't snow the Lord at any time. He knows. He knows. And I'm just being honest. I want to help us. We affect each other, especially in a service coming up. I know we look at the Lord's Supper and the severity of taking that worthily, as the Word of God says. That means not that anybody's worthy to take it, but that you've taken the necessary steps to make sure that your heart's clean and ready to partake of the Lord's Supper. I see that very similar to what we're looking at here when you think about revival, because revival is bigger than just you and me. And every single one of us need it. But if you're not willing to clean the inside of the cup, you won't have it. You'll come, you'll look, you'll take part, you'll see maybe others that are willing to take the necessary steps and say, boy, they're having a time, aren't they? Yeah, and you could too. That's what it's about, worshiping the Lord, thinking about how He made it possible that you and I could even have a clean cup to begin with, that we could have a clean life, that we could live a good life. That's nothing that you and I can do in and of ourselves. That's a gift that God's given to us. Think about that. Just that you and I can enjoy fellowship with Him, enjoy fellowship with one another. But I tell you, you can't fake it till you make it. It won't happen. It won't happen that way. We get back in return what we put in. And what I've learned with God, He always gives back more. He blesses us in ways that we're so unworthy to receive. And I tell you, He's just so worthy of all praise, all worship. If we did nothing this week but sing songs and praise God for the next 4 days, it would absolutely be worth it, and that would be an actual revival. I love these men that are coming, but I want to tell you, it's not them. It's not me. It's not even you. It's 100% Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. You remember when the disciples were going and healing, and you remember the man that couldn't walk? He said, silver and gold have I none. I can't pay your doctor bills, but what I have I give to you in the name of the Lord. Rise up and walk. See, the power is in the Holy Spirit and what the Lord does for us. It's not who's coming. I'll tell you this. It's not who's coming, necessarily what's going to be preached. It's how willing you are to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. That's the key. And you say, well, preacher, if that's the case, revival could be at any time. Absolutely. It could be at home. It could be in the car. It could be out in the woods. Need to be here, not out in the woods. Think about that. What a blessing it is to get together with one another, love one another enough that you want to be together and do things together. That's another thing that this B stands for. It stands for household also, this letter of the alphabet, household. I think about our household at home. Think about our household here at the church. And I want to say this too, to us as parents, every one of us. We give direction to our kids a lot of times. We give advice to people. We give direction. And we can really stand firm on things when we think it's going to help somebody else. You remember when I was saying we turn the Bible on somebody else? Say, this is what you need to do when you turn the Bible on somebody else. What I'm afraid of, what happens to us as parents is a lot of times, we don't take that same medicine. We'll turn that medicine on somebody else, but we're not taking it ourselves. And you know what our kids will say? They'll say, Mom, Dad, if that medicine is so good and so powerful, why aren't you taking it? Why aren't you taking it? If that's what's going to help me, and I see you seem anxious and distressed, and you seem like you're having a hard time, why don't you take that same medicine you're telling me to take? We're not going to fool our kids. There might be other people, But there might be people in this room you're going to fool, but I promise you this, you're not going to fool your kids. I'll tell you that. They see you when nobody else does. They see your response, your reaction. And if the first thing you do when you start feeling spiritually sick, if you go not to the medicine cabinet, but you go to the place where you have the Word of God and you pick that up and you start taking that medicine, you know what your kids are going to do? They're going to do the same thing when they get spiritually sick. They're going to say, this is what Mom does. This is what Mom told me to take. When I have this ailment, this is what Mom told me to do. Grandma always said, if I have this, to do this. They're going to do what they see us do. And we see here again, back in Psalm 119, as I hurry along, you see this is not a partial effort. The psalmist goes on to say in verse number 10, he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Now, again, we can make a show one to another. Boy, that person's really burdened, or boy, that person's really this or that. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows if you're seeking Him with our whole heart. Now, I see this also with Jeremiah. Again, I think about him a lot in different ways, but with our whole heart. This is what the Lord said to Jeremiah 29:13. He says, and ye shall seek me. The Lord was telling Jeremiah, when you get in a mess, when you get in a way, when you get discouraged, you shall seek me. I'm telling you what you need to do. You need to seek me at all times. But what he says here, when ye shall seek me and find me. Interestingly, I heard not from this verse here, but a different verse from a different message earlier this week. When you read that, that means that he's not always right there. The Lord's not always right there. You know, I tell you, if you start walking far off from him, he don't feel like he's right there. That's why we have to go seek and have to go find. It's because we walked away. He didn't walk away. We walk away by our actions, by our disobedience, by our lack of faith. We step away. We walk away. What he's telling Jeremiah and reminding him here is, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with all of your heart. See, that's the one contingency, Brother Curtis, I see. That's when the Lord knows that you're meaning business, is when you're seeking Him with your whole heart. There's a lot of, not, I don't think it's on purpose sometimes. Going to church, we pray. We're taught to pray before we eat. We pray, we're taught to pray. But you know, those average prayers, if I say it like that, are different than those prayers when life is hanging in the balance. Sister Liz, when you get that phone call, somebody's been in an accident. It's different. There's an imminent to it. It's I need help right now to it. And you know, there's people in our church, lost people that need help right now. Very rarely will you find a time that we don't need imminent help from the Lord, because we can't do anything without Him. Nothing. We're helpless. We're like sheep. We need help. The Lord knows when we're seeking Him with our whole heart and just not out of convenience. I think in this day and time, people have reverted to what I would call entertainment versus true spiritual worship. There's a big difference. You can half-heartedly seek out and receive entertainment. You can't half-heartedly seek out the word of the will of God. It's a wholehearted thing, and He knows it. He knows it. He's saying, when you search for me with your whole heart, you shall find me. And that's what he's saying here in Psalms again. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You don't know what you're wandering from if you don't know what his commandments are. And if you're not reading the word of God, you don't know what his commandments are. It all reverts back to the importance of staying with God's word and knowing what it says. If you get to a place in your life that you really want to serve the Lord, you can't leave out the Word of God. I put a lot of thought into this. I don't know how much the average person reads, the average church goer reads, the average church member, the average saved person, however you want to break that. I don't know how much they read and study, but let's say if they don't, what are they doing? Maybe saying a few prayers and just waiting to see what happens. The Word of God doesn't teach anybody to do that. It teaches us to stay in tune with Him by staying in tune with the Word of God and studying. It's right there. He's saying, I will show you what I'm asking you to do if you will go there and read it. If you'll spend time with me, I'll spend time with you and I'll guide you. I tell you, if we're not doing that, then we're not wholeheartedly seeking what the Lord has for us. He's saying here again, let me not wander from thy commandments. He's wanting to stay with, he does not want to offend God, and he wants to do what the Lord is telling him to do. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I want to do things right. I want to know what's in your word, that if your word says not to do it, then I won't do it so I can maintain fellowship with you and have that help, have that confidence in times of trouble, knowing that you're there. He goes on to say, and I hurry along, he says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Teach me how you want me to be. I want to be like you, Lord. I want to be more like you. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. What I've learned, I'm sharing with others. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I take joy, I enjoy the testimonies that I've heard of others, of other people, the testimonies that you've shared, how good you are and how you take care of us. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. See, that's where you are continually taking that medicine. You meditate on it. There's not one person in here, I'll tell you this, myself included, that is not a meditator. Did you know that? Everybody in this room is a meditator, from the youngest to the oldest. I believe that. And I can prove that probably within a matter of a few seconds. I can go to the youngest and say, what's your favorite thing to do? And they can tell me right on and on and on. The oldest person here, what do you like to do? What don't you like to do? I can tell you pretty quick what you meditate on, because you will tell me about it. And I would tell you about it. Now that I'm a good fisherman, I can tell you about that. Kind of a big deal, I'm going to tell you. Pretty cool. Just kidding. But I tell you, we all meditate on things. We can meditate, we can be anxious, and we can worry about things. A lot of people do. Worry about the fear of what's going to happen next, and how am I going to handle this? How am I going to take care of that? But see, the Word of God says meditate on His Word. See, we all have that capability. Every single one of us, it's already built into us. But He's saying meditate on the Word of God. You know what encouragement that brings? Not only to yourself, but to your kids, to those around about you, that confidence that you can have knowing that the Word of God is going to help us. God Himself is going to help us. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 16, and I'm closing, and I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. There's a lot of delight in simply having fellowship with God. A lot of easement in that. I'll tell you, Even when things aren't going bad, not being in fellowship with God is bad. And you know it. If you've been saved any amount of time, I guarantee you, you know what it feels like to be in fellowship with God and then to not be in fellowship. I want you to know this morning, you can take that spiritual medicine, what the Word of God is prescribing to you. You can have that fellowship. I wanted to share that this morning because now is the best time to get in there. I would hate for it to be that I wish I would have responded sooner. This is as soon as I've tried to give notice. This is as soon as I can give you right now. I don't want to see anybody not get in on the services that want to get. I want to get in on it, that want to get in. If you will stand with me this morning, I'll ask the ladies to come. Father, I come to you this morning. Again, just thanking you so much for your word and how it can help us, the medicine that it is. God, when we're feeling out of sorts with life circumstances and things that are going on, God, that you have the words for us, you have the help for us. It's the love letter that you've given to us, God, that it will help us. Even sometimes, Lord, when that medicine might not taste or feel good, but God, we know and can trust that it's what is going to help us, and how important it is that we first take the medicine ourselves before we try to share it with other people, that we turn your word on our hearts first, God, that we can see the importance of it, know what it feels like, feel the severity of it, God, feel what it feels like and how it can change our life before, Lord, we can share it with somebody else accurately, Lord, that they can see the power and the importance of it. God, I pray for each one here this morning. Again, I pray for our services this week. Anything, Lord, that you want to accomplish, God, I just pray that we get out of the way and that you have your will and that your will be done. God, we just want to praise and worship you and thank you for all that you've done for us. And God, we pray for our lost, that you touch their hearts. God, please help them to see. Help them to see that need, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How about it this morning?